You have a bright future ahead of you with all these kids. As you were leading in worship, I was just kind of curious what it's going to sound like next door. Yeah, you and you both. So it's going to be fun. Okay. And if you need help on sound management, let me know. Okay. And I'm not the guy to call, but I will get some help for us. Okay. So it's a joy to just be a part of what God has done. Last time I was here, I think there was a foundation over there. And has anything happened since the last time I was here? It's okay. What has happened? God's at work. How long did it take to put that structure up? About 4 days. Seems like yesterday, right? How many of you doubted that would ever see the day when that came up? Yeah. It was a joy to see what's happening, but can you tell me what's happening in Jay? What do you hear on the streets of Jay about Bean's Corner? People watching. Okay. Did you know people are watching? Yeah. What are they seeing? A new church? They're also seeing God at work. Okay. Guess what? You have an opportunity to understand that God's at work here in Jay, Maine. Are you ready to engage with him? Because he has already started the conversation by this building. Now, is that building a church or is it just a building? Just a building. Who's the church? You're the church. There's going to be a lot of churches that are gone after Harry hits Texas. But does that mean the church is gone? No, you're going to see a new life develop because those individuals will be going, that was a building. We're the church. We're going to be helping our neighbors. We're going to be doing things like that. So when I ask you what's the conversations in town about Jay, it reminds me of when Jesus had a conversation with his disciples and he said to them, who do they say that I am? Some said you're Elijah, some says you're a prophet. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter, in his famous words, says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that was not revealed to you out of your own brain. That was revealed to you by my Father. What they saw here was a building going up. But the spiritual truth of this is it's that God's at work. And he's at work with you. How many of you hosted anybody in here? Were you blessed? When I told you probably want to know this encounter, Barrick's going to be like, oh, I don't want that. But you're blessed. Are you blessed by the people? Did you meet any of the peoples here? Can you believe they came and worked for nothing but food? Forever? Were they lazy? Why do you think they did that? Because they love God. And God's working in their life. And they were sharing what God has done in them. This is really a spiritual thing. If you can look at it, and a lost person will look at it and go, that's just building a church or building a building. But they can't imagine the whole company of people who came up from all over the world, all over the United States, to help you to do this. It was a spiritual transaction. Just like when Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a spiritual transaction between God, Peter, and the other disciples. Don't miss this. You think we just built a building, buddy. Don't limit it to that. What has God been doing around you? I want to take this this passage today. And I kind of want us to walk through this, if you don't mind. We're going to be look at John chapter 17. And I want us to think about your role in the kingdom of God here at Bean's Corner. Do you think it's just about sitting in the pews or in the chairs? Or is there more to it? A lot more. Okay? Is it a spiritual transaction between you and God for being here? Or is it just, oh, I just got up here one day and decided to come to church? Yeah. There's a lot of people not hearing that, okay? So there's something about you coming, giving time to come here, to hear God's word, to be filled for the next week or the next day. It's a spiritual transaction. How many of you are reading? Well, don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But how many are reading Scripture on a daily basis? Okay. All right. Because there is this transaction that can happen in your own house, in your own home, around your own table. And you can read and have a spiritual transaction right there and watch God transform you. So as we think through this, I want us to look at a prayer. Now, this prayer was prayed 2,000 years ago. So, we've got any high school teachers, math teachers, or anything? No? I always ask for math teachers because I'm not good in math. Okay, good. We're in the same boat. But do you know what a half-life is? A half-life. That's where radiation goes to a half-life after so many years, you know, like Chernobyl in Russia, it's still, there's a half-life to everything. Is there a half-life to prayer? No. So will you join me and look what Jesus says to you in this prayer? Before I look at John chapter 17, verse 20, I want to look at verse 18. 17:18. Jesus is speaking here. It says, As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I have sanctified myself, that they may be sanctified. And then he starts this prayer for all believers. My prayer is that not for the disciples myself or myself, but for those who come after. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Okay, can we stop there for a minute? Jesus is praying for those who come after him because of their message. Do you have a message? What is the message? The gospel, the good news. All right? It's the good news. It's a free gift that you didn't deserve. Showing up and saying, because I love you, I'm willing to sacrifice so that you can have a free gift of salvation. Now, what is salvation? Look at John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, 3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Know who? Jesus, the only true God, or no God, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. He sent him so that you and I could know him through salvation, and our lives have been changed. So Jesus is sort of like a change agency, isn't he? Now, that some brave soul this morning told me that she baked a cake and left the baking powder out of it. And she said she baked a Frisbee. Have any of you ever cooked something and left something out of it? Yeah. And they become flat, right? There was no change agents in that flatness. But you add an egg, an extra egg or something, or you soda and bacon powder, or baking powder, what happens? It rises, it changes things. Jesus is that change agent that comes into your life that changes you. You never connected bacon powder and change agent, did you? But see, a lot of us will look at us and we want to clean ourselves up and say, you know, I've got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem. I can't go to church, or I can't come to Christ. I don't want to get serious about Christ because I don't know what to change. If you have somebody coming into your house, they're knocking at your door and saying, I'm here. What's the first room you clean? Kitchen, bathroom, living room, okay? We clean what we want to. And that comes to Christ. We say, well, God, I've got to clean myself up here. What are you going to clean first? See, we're looking at ourselves and saying, we need to clean us up. God says, don't worry about it. You accept my son into your life, I will become the transformation agent. I will be the catalyst that will change you. Does this make sense? The change agent. So let me ask. I'm kind of interactive because my lecture is really poor, and I'm not as good a pastor or preacher as your pastor is. Okay? I'm a pitch hitter, and that's all. And I don't pitch hit a lot. Can you remember a time before you came to Christ and your life was a mess? Okay? And when you came to Christ, you accepted him, and you really didn't see the changes that happened, and all of a sudden, something happened, and you go, you know, I used to lose my temper or something like that. I've been changed. And you really didn't know that you've been changed. Because he has been changing from the inside. He's been transforming you in order so you can give the message out. And it's through your message that the next disciples are going to develop. So let's assume something really negative for a moment. Let's assume that everybody in Bean's Corner never tell anybody about Jesus. They don't say a word about him. They just come here, they sit in the pews, they sing songs, they go out, and they do absolutely nothing with a message. How long will Bean's Corner survive? It won't. what happens to the kingdom of God? It gets smaller. You guys are very valuable in God's kingdom. Did you know that? You feel valuable? Not really. I have no clue what you're talking about. Guys, you are valuable. If Jesus knows when two sparrows fall on the ground, he knows every hair on your head, and for Nate, few hairs. And TJ. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But as you think about this, he values you because you're the messenger for the next generation. Mom's dad, are you telling Bible stories to your kids? Are you opening the Bible and showing Bible stories to them? Are you sharing something? Because they're the next generation. Are you helping your neighbors? See, I'm looking at that building, and you're going to have a lot of attraction coming to see when you have open house. You're going to have an open house, I'm assuming. Sometime in October, I'm assuming. And they're going to come, and they're going to be people from all over the community. And what are they going to find? Are they going to find people who have a message to tell? Bean's Corner is a very friendly church, extremely friendly. But that building's only a tool to bring people in. And what if they just come in and sit down and they hear the celebration and they don't hear the gospel? It's of no value. But what if I say, if everybody was to share your faith, and I think that thing will hold 300, right? From what I understand? 310, 315, 3? Can you dream with me what it would look like to have two services with 300 people in it? Is that possible? What's going to have to be the catalyst? What's going to be the trend? What's going to have to bring the baking powder? You are. You. So listen to this prayer again. And remember, there's no half-life in prayer. He says, and this is what Jesus is praying for you. I want you to look in the mirror, and when you're home, I want you to look in the mirror and say, Jesus is praying this for me. He prayed it 2,000 years ago, and there are no half-lives in prayer, and it's in his word, and it's still alive, and it's still active, and he's saying to you, I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. See, your message is going to be about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are one. They are God, and they're one. And we are coming together at different ideas of who we are, different families, and all this stuff, and we're coming together as one. It doesn't mean conformity. It means unified. I spent time working with churches in Boston, and there is an Arab church there made of Jordanians, Iranians, Iraqis. They're in Boston. And so I'm looking there, and I'm seeing on the news that they hate one another. And I asked the leaders, I says, what is the difference? When they come here, they seem very loving and caring. They share a common bond. And he simply said to me, Keith, it's God. We check our politics at the door. When we walk into this room, we're one with Christ. He doesn't see us. He sees us as a unit, as ones who believe in Jesus Christ, who loves us, who gave himself for us. You have a message. Let me talk to you about your message. Do you know you have a message? I was 27 years old before I knew I had a message. I got saved at 26, and I was 27 years old, and I'm going, I've got to give my testimony. What do I say? I wake up, I'm an early riser anyway. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, I got to share a testimony. I need a testimony. Help me. I have no idea what a testimony is. Do you know what a testimony is? Yeah. Testimony is, how did you come to know Christ? What your life was before Christ. Think about that. How you came to know Christ. And how your life has changed. That's a testimony. What your life was like before you came to Christ. Remember those dark days? Had no hope. Remember when that person who introduced you to Christ, what if they didn't share that message? And think of your life now as it has changed. Would anybody want to go back to where you used to be? I wouldn't. Is that good news? Could you be baking powder to somebody? Don't throw it at them, okay? But just be that transformation, be that person that God uses in their life to say, you think you know everything, and your world you may, but there's a whole different world out here. There is a spiritual world out here that you're oblivious to. It's not because you don't see it. You just don't see it. And let me introduce you to Jesus. Who can argue with your story? You know the number one reason they don't share? Because they're afraid they'll argue with you. I don't know enough. You got your story. Tell your story. If you have your story, tell it. 3 minutes or less. How I came to know Christ, what my life was, what happened, and how my life has changed. Because people want that in their life. They may act like they don't, but they do. And here's the message. They may also be, maybe in us, though the world may believe that you have sent me. What's at stake here? That all of them may be one, as the Father, just as I am in me, you are in me, and I am in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. How many people did it take to build this building? $200 active leaders. But how many people did it take to give that money? So it was a joint effort. They were unified. Here's danger. Let me tell you what the danger is. We have a building. We've done it. Some of those plans have been on the board for 10, 15 years. We have arrived. We've got a building, a new sanctuary. Can we stop? No. That is a tool, and only a tool, to impact all this region. Does this make sense to you? You're going to come into that new place, like you got fantastic worship now, and I can't imagine what that's going to be there. But you're going to worship, you're going to be filled, you're going to hear the Word of God. Then what are you going to do with that? Have you ever used a washcloth and just left it set for 2 or 3 days in the sink? Oh. All right? Think of yourself as not doing anything, you're just sitting there, you're going sour. Have you thought about that? You know more than anybody else in your neighborhood about Christ. You know he's a change agent. You have a choice to be living and letting it work through your life or sitting sour. Your choice. But what's at stake? What's at stake is the state of Maine and the kingdom of God. Maine is 97% lost. Put that in your mind. 1.3 million people, and 97% of them do not know Jesus. We estimate 37,000 people in the state of Maine who are believers. And for some reason, God is working in the state of Maine, in J. Maine, with a people who love him, who have a message to tell, and waiting for you to double yourself. There's probably 200 people, total services. If one person were to share their life with two people, what would happen? Do you know? There's a guy, Cole is his last name, and he sat in Starbucks in California, and he said, I will buy anybody's coffee. There's a big sign on this table. I will buy anybody's coffee if you will hear my story. Nobody, he didn't buy anybody's coffee because nobody wanted to hear his story. So he went across town to another Starbucks, and he says, I will buy your coffee if you will tell me your story. He said, I never bought a cup of coffee because they buying my coffee so I could hear their story. There's people out there who want to hear their story, you to hear their story. And as you hear their story, you can intertwine. Tell me more about that. How'd that happen? I had a similar experience, but Christ came into my life. It doesn't have to buttonhole anybody. You just kind of listen to their story, and God will take their story, and you will be able to apply it, the gospel, into their life. And you may have the privilege of watching right before your eyes someone come to know Jesus and be radically transformed. Isn't that cool? And who's he choosing? Pastors? No, he's choosing you. He's trusting you. He's empowering you. And the purpose for this is that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. See, the world does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the reason he was resurrected was to prove that he was the Son of God. And the reason he lives in our life is so to transform us so that we will tell others about him. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And I will in them and you in me, they may be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So what has happened here? You had all these massive people coming in. You built a church. The talk in J is going on. It's in the newspaper. It's in everywhere. And they're just seeing a building, and I'm saying it's God at work. He's gone ahead of you. And he's waiting for you to share how he has transformed your life. The question is, are you up for it? Are you willing to do it? What's at stake? What's at stake is your neighbor's salvation. What's at stake is the state of Maine. What's at stake is the kingdom of God. My generation did a very poor job of sharing. We witnessed, but we didn't make disciples. We vaccinated more people against the gospel than we really brought into the gospel. This new generation, millennials, is an open opportunity. Do we have any gamers in here? Anybody like to play games? No? A few? In Portland right now, they're using gaming to witness. So whatever strength you have, use that strength. I'm currently fishing with a guy. I have no music abilities. I'm a very poor preacher, but I can fish. Not well, but I can fish. If I keep the whatever thing in the back of the boat, plug, in the boat, I do really good. Very important. I was on the Kennebec River, and my boat's filling up. I'm going, ah. So I'm not perfect. But what it did, it showed my flaws. And so the guy I'm fishing with is not a believer. And we're having a great time. He's asking me, why are you taking me fishing? Because I really do like him. He's a Buddhist. We haven't had that God conversation, but we're having fishing time. And it's not about fishing. It's about getting a relationship in order to share the gospel. Guys, you already have relationships. You got them. Leverage them. And what's the purpose here? That they may be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and I love them even as you have loved them. John 17:23. Complete unity. Not uniformity. But what bonds us together right now is Christ, his love for you and I. I'm going to do something really stupid now. Okay? You cannot tell Ira. I'm done. Okay? Ha, 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 ha.